the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We've heard in this short teaching today from St. Luke's Gospel the very essence of the Christian faith. And I can say that it's the essence of the Christian faith because of how Jesus ends his teaching. He tells us to be merciful, even as our Father in heaven is merciful. So in other words, what he is teaching us to do is to behave like God behaves. And we know from seeing it in our own lives, and we know from reading Scripture, that God is merciful to the just and to the unjust. He makes his rain to fall, as Jesus says in Matthew, he makes his rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. And ultimately, of course, we see in the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we see him living out the Father's mercy, because he dies for the salvation of the world. Not when people had decided to love him, not when people had decided to come to his side, convert to the way that he thought, but actually the exact opposite, when the entire world essentially was turned against him. His own people, the religious leaders of his time, the powerful people in the Roman government, they had turned against him, and even his disciples, the few that he had. Because remember, when he walked this earth, there weren't that many that were willing to follow his way. Even his disciples had spread. Even they had dispersed. And he was left there on the cross, hanging by himself. And so we see the essence of Jesus' teaching, the essence of God's life is being merciful. Not when people deserve it, but when they least deserve it. And so it is for us that we have to try to live in our lives this teaching. We have to be good to those who are evil unto us. We have to try to root for, so to speak, our enemies. And I don't mean the Los Angeles Chargers. Nobody has to root for them this afternoon. But our real enemies in life. We have to try to reconcile with them. We have to hope good for them, even if we can't reconcile. I have so many people who come to me and ask what they can do when they have tried to reconcile with one of their enemies, sometimes, unfortunately, people in our own families. And they've done everything that they can think of possible. And the thing that I always tell them is always hope good upon them. At least don't wish bad things would happen to them. And we are to lend to people when they cannot give back to us. Why? Because our Father is merciful. Our Lord Jesus Christ showed us by his example that he is merciful. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you hear so many times, most of the saints in our church, the vast majority of them are martyrs. And we see in the example of so many of these martyrs how the people who were torturing them, we're trying to get them to become upset with them, with the torturers. That's part of the reason they were torturing them, is to try to get them to break. To try to get them to become angry. And you read the saints, the martyr saints, and we see they don't become angry. They follow Jesus' example, and all of these nasty things that happen to them. They say, well, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. They hope only for the salvation of those who are persecuted. And you see, brothers and sisters, this way of thinking and this way of behaving is the way that we must behave if we are truly to be called Christians, if we have truly been converted, and each and every one of us has to be converted to the Christian faith. We're not born that way. Why I don't like the term cradle orthodox. Yes, I mean, you know, technically some people are baptized while they're still in the cradle. But nobody is born orthodox. So I don't like it when people say they were born orthodox. Nobody was born a Christian. You're reborn as a Christian. That's the only way. And it's not just in the act in that sacrament where you're put under water and raised back up 3 times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the real conversion, the real rebirth, is to live life in the way that Jesus teaches us today. Because the way that we live naturally, each and every one of us, from the time we're born, is to either strike back at those who do evil to us, or to flee from them if we're scared. But it's not our inclination to love them. It's not our inclination to seek good for them. It's not our inclination. I mean, how many of us like to lend to people, whether it be of our time, our talent, or especially our money? How many of us like to lend and know we're not going to get it back in return? We have to be converted to this message. And we have to realize that it's not enough for us just to be Orthodox in name only. You know, there are many people today in the Orthodox Church, in my estimation, anyway, for whatever that's worth, but I'm the one preaching today, in my estimation, are preaching the gospel of Pharisees. And we have to be very careful not to fall into that trap. You will see in the bulletin today that I have a section, as I told you. When we put out the guidebook last month, I'll put a little bit in each bulletin, a section, so that people can read it a little bit at a time or be reminded of it if they've already read it. But you see, the importance of coming to the divine services is mentioned in this guidebook. And how we are not just a Sunday-only church. We have services during the week. We have feast days that we celebrate throughout the year, etc., etc. Unfortunately, many people, many Orthodox, think that just by simply showing up to these services and going through the motions, that somehow that makes them a good Christian. And this is not the case whatsoever. What makes you a good Christian, whether you come to every service or not, is whether you live as our Father lives. Are you merciful as He is merciful? Do you live as Jesus taught us to live by His words and His deeds? And you come to church. One of the main reasons that you come to church, besides just worshiping God, taking time out of your week and out of your day to give thanks unto God, one of the main reasons you come to church is to hear these words that we heard of Jesus in the Scripture, and to be corrected by them, to be reminded of them. And you'll come forward soon, many of you, to receive the body and blood of Christ. And what does that mean, to receive the body and blood of Christ? It means that you are bringing Christ and His teaching within you. That you are bringing Him and His life within you, so that when you leave this place, you would live as He taught us to live. And that, my brothers and sisters, is something to which we all must convert, so to speak. We all must learn to live this way. I want to conclude today because it's important for us to understand. I think we all get the idea of loving our enemy and doing good to those who hate us and so forth. Some of us may think, though, about lending. Well, I don't have any money. Well, big deal. You don't have to have money to lend to others to expect nothing in return. That's one way you can do it, if you have money. But even people who are not wealthy or don't have an excess of money have other ways that they can lend to others. And I want to use this example, not because she's my wife, but because of the response to something that she did as we were traveling back this week from Spain. And we were getting up, we're in the last row on the plane. I don't know how we ended up on the last row on the plane, but thankfully they still let us with on. But in any case, that's beside the point. In any case, as we're walking up through the plane, we get to this row where there was a young mother who had a child who was like a year old and was in the little sling that they can wear. And a child who had just turned 3 years old, and I have never seen anything like it in my life, that row on the plane. If you had taken, 3 or 4 bags that parents take for children and exploded them on the plane, that's what the row looked like. I don't know how they're ever going to get that plane clean again, but not my problem. But in any case, we're walking out, we're the last ones, and my wife asks the lady if we can help her. I'm thinking, oh, great, this is what I want to do after this 10-hour flight. So we're getting things in this lady's bag and so forth, and we follow her out. The good news is we got to get a little bit further ahead in the passport line. But we still waited for an hour and a half, and my wife was playing with the 3-year-old. And the 1-year-old was screaming most of the time. He fell asleep, as they're inclined to do, about 3 minutes before we get off the plane. He falls asleep. He gets woke up by all this commotion. And so he's crying for like an hour and a half, mostly the whole time. In the meantime, my wife's playing with the 3-year-old to keep him at bay as we're going through the passport line. And we get out afterwards. We get through the passport line with this gal, who's very kind and patient, wonderful mother. Very much respected. My wife and I realized even afterwards, we didn't even get her name. We helped her get her bags and so forth, and we went our separate ways. And what she said to us stuck with me. Because you would think to me, well, you know, thank you, have a good day, whatever. She said, well, thank you, I guess, have a good life. In other words, I'm never going to see you again. And what are the chances? And even if we do, we're probably not going to recognize one. Never going to see you again. But thank you. Have a good life. You see, that's one way that any of us can lend into others. She's not going to be able to repay my wife for what she did. She'll never see her again. It's a way that we can be kind to others. It's a way, no matter how much money you have, you can give of your time and you can give of your care for other people. I pray, brothers and sisters, that we would learn to be converted to this way of life that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, to love our enemies, to do good unto those who do evil unto us, and to lend to those who can give nothing in return. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever.
Amen. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That ye will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That ye will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will unite them to his holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Lord, have mercy.
Save them, have mercy on them, help them and keep them, O God, by thy grace.
Lord, have mercy.
Bow your heads unto the Lord, ye catechumens.